This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here on Money, Riches, and Wealth, and I'm here with Tommaso Vincenzo Giuseppe Bambasuto.
Good evening, Drew.
And how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Are you living well down there?
Living well. Living well. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah?
No traffic coming over.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Though the traffic was right around our complex.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Yeah. I'm thinking, man, if this is just getting out of this place, what's it going to be like on the 83 in the Beltway? And I got out there, and it was perfectly clear.
Yep, yep.
I don't know what it was going on. I think they were giving something away at the Hunt Valley Town Center, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're here tonight, Tommaso, and we're on an open show tonight.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
And so we're here to take your questions, and you get to be the guest. You get to determine the direction, because last week you interviewed Mr. Green, I believe.
That's right, William
Green.
Yeah, The Great Minds of Investing. Great book.
Yeah, and you remember you wrote and said that you talked to him on the way home, and he made a couple other suggestions of people from the Wall Street Journal would like to come on and talk with us about some of their topics.
Exactly.
So that's hopefully you're coordinating some of that with us.
Yeah, we hope to get some more of those folks that he's connected with. He's got a great network of folks that we think would be interesting to our listeners.
One being Jason Zweig. I mean, I've followed him many years, and he's a very good journalist, got a lot of great information. And I think he could be a very good, give us some good insight on some topics and so forth. So that'd be great.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're on an open show tonight. 410-922-6680 is how you get in to lead the conversation tonight, to determine what we're going to talk about. 410-922-6680 is the way you call in and ask your questions. But before we wait to see if anybody calls in and asks a question, we'll do a Drew's View.
Yeah.
And the thing I wanted to talk about was the HSA, the Health Savings Account. I see it so often that this is being overlooked. The HSA, the Health Savings Account. Now, this gets confusing, Tom, because there's a Health Savings Account, there's a Health Reimbursement Account, and there's a Medical Flexible Spending Account.
Mm-hmm.
Those two, the last two, Flexible Spending, which is known as FSA, and the HRA, are, in my opinion, mediocre at best compared to the HSA, Health Savings Account. The HSA is something that anyone who has the opportunity to do it should at least be considering it. Now, there's exceptions to everything.
Of course.
You know, so if you're expending a good deal of money every year on medical bills, you've got big prescription expenses, you go see the doctors frequently and so forth, an HSA may not work out for you. But it still can.
Sure.
But if you're relatively healthy and your family is not going to the doctors a lot, you don't spend a lot of, and you're not doing an HSA, you're absolutely wasting money in the hands of insurance companies.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so much we could talk about the HSA, Health Savings Account.
Yeah.
Not all companies offer the HSA either, so you don't always have that availability.
Yeah, and more are offering them, and now's a great time to be talking about it because in the next couple of months, people are going to start to get their open enrollment packages from their companies, and the benefits package come out, and they get it, and they don't know what to do, and they see these things, and it's an alphabet soup, HSA, FSA, what is all this stuff? But the HSA is one of the best benefits out there that somebody can take advantage of.
Yeah, you know, and we were just talking with a client this afternoon, and he's a business owner, and he has like 10 partners in the business. They have about 20 total employees, so half of the employees are owners of the business, and they've been doing an HRA, and they think that that was the better way to go. And when I went through the dynamics of the HSA, you know, the guy that's basically the administrative person said, you know, that makes total sense. Why are we doing the HRA?
Right.
It seems like, you know, the HRA really works because, you know, if people don't use it, the company gets the money back. Well, you know, there are times that that works. There's exceptions to everything. But in his situation, the right. HSA and most small business owners out there that are listening mm-hmm. should be looking at the HSA
yep.
and understanding the dynamics of why that is
yep.
such a great opportunity.
Yeah, it's a great benefit.
Anyway, we are on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question and lead the conversation today, let's go to Bill. He just wants to make a general comment. Bill and Perry Hall, how can we help you?
Well, I was going to help you with your question. You talked about the traffic up where you were this Saturday. Well, that's because of people involved with a different kind of investment. Every Saturday morning between around 8 and 10 o'clock is a major car show. From several hundred cars, maybe up to 1,000 cars.
Well, that's Saturday. I was talking about today at 5 o'clock when I was coming home. But I've seen that. There are some really cool cars there.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got mixed up.
Do you do cars?
I do.
Which what do you have?
I do Volkswagen Beetles. I did anyway.
How many do you have? One? 10?
Okay. Well, I had many, but now I'm just down to two. But
what year?
I specialized from 71 to 74 Super Beetles.
Well, what's the difference between a Super Beetle and a Beetle?
A 74 Beetle, the Super Beetle is 6 inches longer, and it has a McPherson strut system. From the windshield on back to the bumper is identical to a standard Beetle. But the front suspension is completely different.
Huh.
And it's a little safer because when you get in a front end collision, the steering wheel doesn't get shoved up into your neck or anything. Because the Super Beetle is a side mounted
right.
suspension. It's a little bit different and safer.
That's great.
Well, I appreciate that, Bill. I've got to run to do a traffic report for everyone.
Okay.
All right, Bill. Good point. Thank you. And we're going to traffic. Take it away, traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It's really exciting music, you know. It really gets me pumped up for the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Tom?
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is.
Anyway, and look, Anita's working on it. She's only been with us now for about a year or so, you know. So... anyway, we're here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show. A listener called and said, give out your company name and phone number, and it's Financial Consulate, 410-823-SAVE. S-A-V-E is an easy way to remember that, 410-823-7283. Anyway, we're going to caller two, Jim in Pasadena. Jim, how can we help you?
How are you?
I am fine, and you?
Okay. I've had a mutual fund for over 60 years, and now I'm recently starting to make a monthly withdrawal from it.
Now, you've had a mutual fund for 60 years. There's only a few of them that actually exist. Putnam, Fidelity.
It started off as Allstate.
Oh, okay.
Then it went somewhere else, and now it's in the Morgan Growth Fund with the Vanguard Group.
Huh. Yeah, that's a new one. Wow. Okay, go ahead. So you're going to start to?
I started recently to make a monthly withdrawal.
Okay.
But I've noticed that the amount of stocks goes down, but I never noticed on any of the sheets that they send me where if the stock moved a dollar, that's $2,300 for me. I never see any new shares added. Am I reading something wrong?
Well, I'm trying to think. So if you, let's say you start out with 2,300 shares, okay? And let's say that you say, okay, I want $100 a month. Well, they're going to sell whatever amount of shares, let's say 5 shares, to come up with $100 a month. So at the end of the month, you're only going to have 2,295 shares, and then every month it's going to drop by 5 shares. But if you're reinvesting dividends and capital gains, and at the end of the year they mm-hmm. have a dividend and capital gain distribution, you could go back up to 2,320 shares, but the price is going to go down.
Right.
I don't know if I'm answering your question well.
No, it's not really answering my question. I know what you're telling me, but the thing is, if it moves a dollar in one day, sometimes they'll do that.
Yeah,
right, sure.
It'll go up a dollar. That's 2,200 shares. That's $2,200.
Right.
And if it's $27 a share, I should be able to get that many shares added to my
No, it's only the price that moves, not the shares that move. The shares only move when you have a dividend and capital gain distribution, and a fund like that is likely to only do that once a year, right, Tom?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, Jim.
Yes, they do that. You know, hey, listen, but for $3 a share to start off, after 60 years, we're up to $27. That's not too bad.
Yeah, yeah, and
not
and
too shabby.
Yeah, exactly. And you probably got capital gain distributions over time. So, Jim.
Yes, I did. But
yeah.
I guess maybe you find my elusive point. I got to wait for the end of the year.
But I can't imagine a $27 fund would go up by a buck in one day. Mutual fund.
Well, maybe 50 cents.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a big that's a big move. A normal day would probably be 15, cents.
10, 15 cents.
It does. Well, let's put it this way. It was last week 26-something this year. Now, I haven't read it today, and yesterday it was $27 a share.
Yep. Well, I mean, the market's up in the last week, about 1%.
It's the Morgan Growth Fund.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's pretty good. All right. Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Take care.
A little bit.
All right, bud. Thanks. Michael in Pikesville, how can we help you?
Yeah, Joe, before I...
Here he is. It's been a long time since we've talked to you.
Well, you haven't said that very much that interested me.
We haven't insulted you lately, is what you said.
That's true.
What's up?
I'll call up tonight to see if I get one of those insults or a praise.
Go ahead.
Before I get to my main topic, I just want to ask you, do you think there would be anybody suicidal enough who would say, now that all this is arranged with Iran, it would be really tremendous to invest in Iranian oil?
Well, oil is a difficult investment, period. But I think that it would be wise to invest in the Iranian stock market. I've been saying that for 4 or 5 years.
Okay,
if you could figure out how to invest in the Iranian stock market, and now you finally have the opportunity to do it legally.
Yeah. Committing suicide for those who know that Iran is only to get stronger and follow through on its intentions. But, okay, some people might do it.
That is true. I think we're going to be surprised what Iran becomes in the next 5 years. See, now, if I'm still doing this show in 5 years, we can have a bet. Your bet is that they're going to get more evil. My bet is that they're going to get better.
Well, my bet is actually they're going to be gone before this because something really earth-shattering is going to happen. And when you're free to speak your mind like you did around the holiday time, I could tell you it was so exhilarating to hear you speak what's really on your mind about your faith. And so you obviously also believe that something is happening that is going to make the world into a whole different place, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so we're on the same page there. So now about HSAs, the problem with selling them, and I've done that, and also car insurance.
Okay.
You have to find somebody who is very business-oriented, like a small business owner, and, those are going out of style very, very quickly because of the way the economy works. But when you find somebody like that, he wants to save money, so he'll do what he can to do that. But when you find somebody who's living from paycheck to paycheck, they're not used to saving money. So if you tell them, well, think about it as if you're buying auto insurance. Does it make any sense that you give all that money to the auto insurance company every month when you're an excellent driver? You never, almost never come to use any of that. Well, if you're very healthy, why would you want to give all this money to the insurance company?
But here's one of the reasons why there's a slight difference there, Michael. And that is because when you drop on a medical insurance policy, from having the medical insurance policy pick up everything but the first couple $100s, a low deductible, let's call it, and you go to a medical insurance company picking up only everything over $2,000, you can literally save $2,000 in premium payments by raising that deductible. And now for the healthy individual that puts that $2,000 saving into an HSA, even if they're living paycheck to paycheck, is substantially better off.
No question about it. It's just they don't have that mindset of being
able to... Well, that's a whole different... That's where guys mm-hmm. like you and I and Tom come into play yeah. here to help these people, no matter who they are, to learn how to do that.
Right. And not only that, but some of the other virtues of it are these, that once they've met the deductible, they don't have to put any more into it, and it rolls over from year yeah. to year and gathers...
Accumulates.
And it gathers interest, sometimes 3 to 5%. And they don't have to use it if they don't need it.
Right, and you can invest it in stocks and bonds if you want to and yep. so forth. But I have to run because I could get one more caller before my break.
Well,
but it's good to hear from you.
You mean they can invest in those things before they get to be 65?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Mars did.
Usually once you get over a certain balance of $1,000 or $2,000 in your portfolio, you can then move the excess into an investment portfolio.
I have a substantial amount in stock funds and bond funds and so forth.
It's because you're so healthy.
All right, Michael.
You mean after they met the deductible, they can move it. Okay, that makes sense.
All right. Take Thanks. Care, buddy. Dan in Randallstown, how can we help you?
Hey, hi. Is there a banking book? My daughter got to do a project. Is there a banking book that lists all the banks in the country or whatever they take, you know, name of one?
That helps you to understand
what's your purpose?
Banks.
Well, she got to do a list of a lot of banks.
She's doing a project or a paper
yeah.
on banks?
Well, just listing. She said she got to get a book for all the banks in the country and go through the book and see which bank do what. I don't know.
Just go to the FDIC website. You
mm-hmm.
can see every FDIC insured bank and get access to them, you know, their websites and so forth, and
yeah.
anything you want.
But she got to bring the book to school, so I got to buy it.
What kind of school is she going to that you can't do electronics?
It's all electronic.
It's like a camp, and they make them
right.
go the extra mile.
Well, okay. Have her look on the American Bankers Association website, and she may be able to get a book from them or some kind of document.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't know of a specific book that we're going to have to recommend. So I'd either go to Barnes & Noble and look for a paper book or go on to the American Bankers website, like Tom says, and see if you can find a book that they specifically talk about. Or the FDIC may actually have a book that you can actually print out from there if you
right.
want to.
So you said it's called American Bankers website?
American right. Banking Association.
Yeah. ABA, American Bankers Association. Yep.
Okay.
All right, Dan.
You saying bankers or banking? Which one are you saying?
Bankers.
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 Bankers. Okay, that's
yeah.
it. All right, thank you.
Take care, Dan. All right, we've got to go to traffic right now.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCGM.
And there you go. We're back again. More stimulating music.
I mean, we've got people driving around the Beltway. We're trying to keep them going here.
That's
we need a little
right.
bit of exciting music.
That's it.
You know, so.
That's it. This is
we should have played the Beatles after we had that initial call with Bill.
This is electronic music night.
Yeah.
Right.
Sounds like it.
So we're here on an open show, which means that you are the guest and there is nobody on the line, not a single person on the line. So you get to call in and ask, and now would be a great time if you want to call in and direct the conversation of our show so that you can get your question answered.
Yep.
And whatever it is, it could be investments, it could be insurances, it could be estate planning, elder care planning, retirement planning, your company retirement plan, your
mm-hmm.
401k, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You get to choose. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 is the way you get to call in and ask whatever question you want to.
Yep.
And if no one calls in, then you and I can either just sit here in silence or we can ramble on to each other.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and while we're waiting, you know, I think you know, the HSA leads into other things. And as we said earlier, this is the time of year where people are starting to get these benefit statements and starting to think about it. It's a great time to think about what they're going to get from their companies and start to take advantage of it. Because, you know, as it was mentioned earlier, you know, Michael was, you know, talking about it. You know, people aren't used to this. Well, you know, you got to start somewhere. I mean, the greatest thing anybody ever did for me was getting me to start in my 401k. I didn't know what I was doing, but somebody just encouraged me to do it, and I got started and began a discipline to start putting away money from the 401k. Now I understand what it is. I'm so thankful I started when I did, because it's hard to go from zero to, for me and you, $24,000 a year, because that's what we get to put away if we want to this year.
Now you got to start somewhere, and did you miss it when you started?
No.
You didn't make a lot of money when you first started.
No, not at all.
And you were married, and you had a child, and yet you started to put a little money away, and you found that you learned to live within your means, despite the little bit you were putting in the 401k, and then you took another chance and put a little bit more away when you got that little bonus or little raise or whatever.
Exactly.
And slowly but surely, it started to accumulate, and next thing you know, you're saving max out on your 401k.
Right. And the same thing's true with the HSA. You know, get started. And to your point, Drew, if somebody switches plans, I had a guy in my old office that said, well, look at the high plan, high deductible plan versus the low deductible plan. And, you know, we did the math. You know, we're math guys, and we're doing the math, and we're like, yeah, this is a no-brainer. I'm going to the high deductible plan with the low premium because I'm fairly healthy. And I can save all that premium dollars, and I can essentially self-insure.
Yeah.
You know, by doing the HSA, or what we had at the original time was the FSA, which, like you said, it's a stepchild. It's not, you know, it's not quite the same, as the HSA. HSA is really the premium.
HSA are the way to go. There is no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Let's go to Stan in Baltimore. Stan, how can we help you?
You may have covered this. I just tuned in. But the question that I had is whether my wife works for the government. We have health insurance through the government. And there is also a certain amount that you can also withhold for medical expenses that does not roll over if you don't use it.
That's the FSA plan with the federal government, the flexible spending account. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Are we able to also have a health savings
account? An HSA. Account? And the answer to that question is yes, sort of. Okay. So you're allowed to have the HSA. But the flexible spending account will be limited as to what you can use it for. And you better make sure that your plan, your human resource people at the government, if you do both plans, are monitoring what you can and cannot do. So that's the issue. And you want to focus more on the HSA. But if you still have, and I think what you can do with the FSA is like certain type of dental expenses.
Dental and vision.
And vision.
Well, pretty much it covers almost all.
But if you're doing both plans, you're limited in the FSA what you can spend the FSA money on, and it's like dental and vision.
Right. It's a limited purpose.
So you
FSA.
Can't use the FSA for other medical bills.
I see.
You can only use the HSA for them, but you can use the FSA for some limited other expenses like dental and vision, and that's why you need to talk to your human resource people and make sure you don't mess that up, because if you do, you could be in serious, tax doo-doo.
Yeah, penalty.
Once she retires and those plans that we're using now go away, I don't think you can still get the FSA while you're
retired. No, you can't.
Right.
But you can, of course, keep your health insurance. Can you then HSA?
You get to keep the HSA's balance that you have. And you can keep.
Can I start an HSA after she retires?
Only if she's under 65 and she has a high deductible health plan after she leaves the government. So if she leaves them, goes on to some other type of plan that's a high deductible plan, then she could.
We would have to give up the government health insurance.
Well, you could do the government health insurance. You just go on to the high deductible retirement health insurance plan for retirees of the government. And if you did that and she's under 65, then yes, she could have the HSA.
Can she then continue to put into it beyond age 65?
No, you can't put into it out beyond age 65.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, sir.
Yeah.
We're going to Frank. And Frank, I only got about a minute and a half, so give me your question. If I can't answer it all right away, I'll try to bring you back after the break. Okay. Frank?
Okay, this is a question. Yes. If a person has his has worked for the government and is in the process of retiring also. Social Security, at what point should it be at the right time to get Social Security? Will it be at 62, 66, or is any penalties, you know, because you have worked for the federal government?
No, well, if you're FERS, you're FERS federal government, right? You're FERS.
Civil Service.
You're CSRS.
Civil Service.
Yeah, if you're CSRS, you're going to get windfall eliminated, you know, WEPT, windfall elimination provision, and you better make sure you go on and figure out how much that windfall elimination is going to be. And what I would do, Frank, is I would go to something like T. Rowe Price. They have a Social Security maximizer analysis they can do for you to try to figure out what would be the best time for you under a CSRS employee to claim Social Security, because you're going to get hit with that windfall elimination provision. So that's what I would do. Can you hold on? If you want to ask more questions, you got to hold on for me with a little. All right, I got to go to traffic. I'll be right back with Frank in a second.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we've got to roll real quick. Hey, Frank, you still there? Frank?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Any other questions?
Yeah, two questions. Life insurance and health insurance. If you have that Blue Cross Blue Shield, but also eligible for TRICARE, do you think it'd be better to have TRICARE, or do you think I should have, or we should have like a Blue Cross Blue Shield, continue with a plan upon retirement?
Now, you're talking about Blue Cross and Blue Shield that you would get from being a federal employment, a federal employee as a retiree insurance,
yes,
as compared to TRICARE. And that's a difficult one. TRICARE is excellent insurance. If you're retired military, TRICARE is excellent insurance, and you may not need it. But it really comes down to how much is it going to cost in addition to the TRICARE to make that type of determination. I have employees that we've kept both, and I've had others we just went with TRICARE, and it really depends on your situation. All right, I got to run, Frank.
Yeah, okay then. Thank you.
Good questions, though.
Mm-hmm.
I can't drop Frank, Anita, can you? All right, I'm going over here to, oops, I lost them. I'm going over here to Frank in Baltimore. Frank, how can I help you? Frank in Bridgeville, number two, needs to go. Frank in Baltimore, are you there?
Yep.
Go ahead.
I have a question about Greece.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, of course, is that Greece is having trouble paying its sovereign debt, its long-term liabilities, and, you know, might be looking for a way to default on those. But the question is, why can't they...
Hold on a sec. Hold on a sec, Frank. Oh, there we go. Oops. You lost my Frank in Baltimore. Well, we're going to Dave in Baltimore. Dave, how can we help you?
I have a question regarding the thrift account. 201 must take a distribution no later than a year after one becomes 70 and a half. Is that right?
You have to take it up to April 1st of the year after you turn 70 and a half. And if you do that, then you have to take two in the year that you waited until April 1st. So let's say I turn 70 and a half this year.
Right.
I have to take a distribution this year. But I can wait until April 1st, 2016 to take my first distribution. But if I do, then I have to take two distributions because I have to have the second one out before December 31st, 2016.
Oh, so one has to take two distributions if I wait till April 1st.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. So that's why I normally just take one this year when I turn 70 and a half, and I take one next year. That way I only have two. I mean, I only have one a year. One a year.
And that's one a year, but if I, since I didn't take it, then I'd take two.
That's correct. If you wait until next year, then you'll have to take two that year, okay?
Otherwise, there's a penalty if one doesn't do that. Right?
Mm-hmm. All right, Frank.
Dave,
I mean, that Dave.
Dave,
I'm working on it. I got to go to Frank. I lost him a second ago. Thanks, Dave. All right, Frank. I'm sorry about that. Greece needs some debt relief. That's correct.
Now, the question is, How come their banks were having trouble and they couldn't keep enough cash on hand for normal retail purposes?
That's only logical in all banking. Always keep this in mind, okay? When a bank gets, let's say a bank gets $100 of my money deposited, a bank runs out and takes my $100 and they put $90 into loans that are totally illiquid. Loans to my company, loans to buy your house, loans to invest in this business. They take the other $10 and they might put it into treasury bonds or treasury bills or commercial paper that's relatively liquid. So banks normally only have 3, 4, 5, 10% of liquid cash that they can have. If you get a run on the banks where everybody's asking for their cash, they only have liquid cash of 3, 4, 5, 10% at the most. And so anytime you have a run like those people in Greece, the leaders in Greece caused the people to run to the banks and raid their money that they put the banks under.
So
it was perfectly logical.
Like George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, yeah. All right, you people, we don't have your money because we made a loan to Jim and to Sam and to Judy. We'll get your money for you.
That's right. Good Jimmy Stewart there.
Yeah, but you see, but it's perfectly, and why these guys didn't understand that when they went in there and did all this crazy negotiating, they had to understand they were going to totally destroy their banking system.
Are the Greek banks owned by the Greek government, or are they private?
Many of them are owned by the government.
Oh.
And I very few of them are private. Some of them have been bought by other banks around, but I think a lot of them sold off in them. All right, Frank, good question.
Good question.
All righty.
Thanks.
We're going to, we're going to Lewis in Baltimore, HSA. Lewis, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew.
Yeah.
You have said that once someone turns 65, you cannot be under the HSA plan. That is not correct. You can be 65 as long as you're not under Medicare. You can still have an HSA.
Well, you're absolutely correct, Lewis, and thank you for correcting us. But most people aren't going to understand the full thing about that, and you have to be very careful that you're not under Medicare A or Medicare B. Medicare A is automatic when you turn 65, so you have to be diligent to make sure you don't get Medicare A. You've got to go back to them and deny it. So you got to be very careful about that, but you're absolutely correct on that extra interpretation.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. you know, he's right, though. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, sometimes you just can't.
There's only so much you can do on the radio.
And just to say 65, you know, because.
It's safer.
Because, you know, somebody can easily mess that one up. Mm-hmm. Steve in Lithicum, I only have a few minutes. How can I help you?
Okay. My wife and I are under 65 when we have private health insurance as a couple.
Okay.
Now, with Obamacare subsidy. And now, I will be turning 65 in a few months, not my wife. She's like 62. So I'm going to be applying for Medicare.
Medicare, and do you have you don't have a Medicare supplemental policy, do you, with a former employer or anything like that?
Nothing like that.
So all you're going to have is Medicare A, Medicare B, you're going to have to sign up for. They're going to take that out of your Social Security check if you're on Social Security. Then you got to get Medicare D, and then if you really want the insurance properly rounded out, you got to go get Medigap. So go ahead and ask your question. I know where you're going here.
Right. So for me, that's true. I need a supplement.
So now all of a sudden that insurance you were getting subsidized by Obama, now all of a sudden you're not getting subsidized in Medicare, right?
Correct. And what does my wife do?
Your wife stays on the exchange policy. She just gets her own exchange policy.
Okay. So she will need I will be, in other words, going off the husband-wife.
Right.
She will get a private one, is that right?
She'll get a personal exchange policy, and she'll still get subsidized, hopefully. Hopefully, she should still get subsidized. And here's what you do, Steve. You're going to contact SHIP, S-H-I-P, State Health Insurance Plan of the State of Maryland, SHIP. And you talk to them and see if they can help you pay for your Medicare Part B, Medicare Part D, and maybe even get you some help with your Medigap supplemental policy. See, if your income is low that you're getting exchange benefits, there's probably a good likelihood that SHIP, State Health Insurance Plan, look at, if you do online stuff, just type in SHIP, Maryland Health Insurance, State Health Insurance Plan, SHIP, and call those people up, and they will help you get your premiums for Medicare B and Medicare D subsidized, maybe to some degree. I don't know your financial situation, but they'll be able to help you and direct you in that, okay?
Okay, maybe some subsidy for the gap plan, the supplemental, or not?
I'm not sure about the supplemental, but
for
definitely for B and D, there's no doubt that they'll be able to help you depending on where your income and assets are.
Yep.
All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right. I hope it works out for you there.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Social Security, disability, health care savings. I don't know what that means, Anita, but that's okay. Because I don't have any time left. What's my last break? I want to make sure I hit it right on target. 59?
It's coming
right
up.
I lost 30 seconds. That's not fair, Anita. All right, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.